Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, beginning in verse 8. This is God's word. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The Amalekites came and attacked. Not a fun thing. The Israelites are trying to do what the Lord's told them and go where the Lord is leading them. And in the midst of it, they came under attack. That happens sometimes when we are seeking to do God's will and when we are walking in obedience. We should not be surprised. But what is very memorable about this situation is not simply that the Lord gave his people protection and victory over their enemies, but that the Lord did it in a very memorable way. And that is, Moses had to hold up his hands or the Amalekites would win. Now, what's with that? This was a particular situation, but it teaches a very important lesson. How easily could God have dealt with the Amalekites without using the Israelites? Very easily. Do you remember what happened to the Egyptian army? The Israelites didn't fight against them. Instead, God simply wiped out the army that was pursuing the Israelites with the waters of the Red Sea. God could have done something similar here. He could have sent a plague, could have sent a hailstorm. He could have sent any number of things in order to deal with the Amalekites. But God chose to use the Israelites in conflict with the Amalekites in order not just to protect the Israelites, but to wipe out the Amalekites. God was bringing judgment on them. So when they came and attacked, it was their undoing. And yet the Lord chooses to use people. One of the things that you see as a pattern throughout the Scriptures is that God likes to partner with people. Not because he needs us. How much help did he get from people when he said, "Let there be light," and there was light? God created the universe out of nothing. He doesn't have need of people in order to accomplish his tasks. But he has chosen to use people, to partner with people. And as we've said many times, when you look at the miracles that God does, whether it is in the life of Jesus as recorded in the Gospels, or whether it is back in the Old Testament or later in the New Testament, the miracles that God does occur again and again in the context of obedience. God tells people to do something, and as they do what he says, they experience the miraculous power of God. And you and I should learn from that. God has chosen that pattern. That's the way he likes to work. And I like it when God is at work in a very clear manner. So, when we look at this passage, recognize that God chose to work this way. He didn't need, this was not a demonstration of, well, God just can't get the job done unless Moses is doing his job. No. Having to have his hands up was a demonstration not of God needing Moses, but of Moses and the Israelites needing God. It was a declaration of dependence. It was imploring the Lord. If you look back earlier in Exodus, you see Moses, when he would go and pray, raising his hands in prayer, stretching out his hands toward heaven. He even told Pharaoh, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave the city. I'm going to go out and I'm going to stretch my hands toward heaven and pray that God will do this. And God would hear and answer his prayer. Now, some of you may be a little like I was when I was younger, and that is feeling a little awkward about raising your hands in the air. It's just kind of, I don't know. Now, I see video from time to time of people at concerts with secular musicians, and they're all doing this, okay? But suddenly, when we get around doing it for God, what's with us? Well, I remember as a teenager going to a Bible study where they used to sing various songs, the words of which were all found in the Bible. And as we'd sing those songs, sometimes they'd sing, "Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name." And when they would sing that, the guy in whose home we were meeting would raise his hands toward the Lord as he led the song. And the other people in the group would raise their hands toward the Lord as well, as an expression of our dependence on him. And I just couldn't do that. My family didn't do that. My church didn't do that. That felt weird. It seemed strange. And you think I am exaggerating, but this is the honest truth. Week after week, I dreaded that song. I hoped they wouldn't do it. Because the whole time, they're going like this, and I'm going like this. And then gradually, one week, this is a true story. One week, I turned my palms over, and I felt like victory. Oh, boy, I am growing. I'm getting free in Jesus. And eventually, I bent my elbows. Bless God. I'm getting free. And finally, one week, I had my hands in the air. I needed for the Lord to set me free from the spiritual bondage that kept me from being able to just focus on him and worship him and praise him and be demonstrative about it. Suppose I came back from one of my journeys and I saw my wife and I said, "Hello, dear, it is good to see you. I'm very glad to be married to you." Would that be appropriate? Or would you think, gosh, what's wrong with him? I know he's a germaphobe, but I mean, what's the deal? No, I mean, I see my wife, I'm going to hug her. Right? Why? Because we are physically demonstrative creatures. Do you know what little kids do when they want a hug? They go like this. Okay? That's the most natural thing in the world. But we train that out of you when you come to church. We teach you to sit still and be quiet. Not do anything undignified except chew gum. And so then somebody comes along and we start singing these songs like we sang this morning about lifting hands to the Lord. And some people are lifting their hands to the Lord and doing exactly what it says. And other people are like, what's the deal? If it says I lift my hands, can you do that? Let me just see right now. Just let's give it a try. Some of you are still struggling. Okay. I mean, it's possible. You know what else besides I want a hug? You know what else this means? Universal sign. I don't care where you are in the world. If I take a gun and I point it at you, you know what people do? It means I surrender. No fight here. It is a universal sign of surrender. Maybe, just maybe, that's part of why God tells us he likes for us to do that. God tells us that? I thought you were telling us that. No. God tells us that. Let me give you a few passages. You might want to write some of these down. Psalm 28:2. Psalm 63:4. Psalm 134:2. Psalm 141:2. Lamentations 2:19. And 341. And then we see examples of folks doing it in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 22, and verse 38, and verse 54. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 6. Ezra chapter 9, verse 5. Well, that's all Old Testament. You know, I actually thought that about lifting hands to the Lord when I was trying to get out of having to do that because it made me feel weird. I mean, what's the big deal? Well, I just didn't feel comfortable with it. I'm just not comfortable with it. And if I'm not comfortable with it, you know, that's really the test as to how you know whether or not something is the will of God is whether or not you're comfortable with it, right? No! That's not how you know whether or not it's God's will. You know how you know whether or not it's God's will? What does the Bible say? That's how you know. And we need to decide that what's okay in church is doing what God says. So I'm trying to persuade myself that I don't have to raise my hands because that's old covenant. And then, doggone it, I found 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Take a look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Paul is writing to Timothy and teaching him how to lead the church. We'll start back at the beginning of chapter 2 just so you get, you know, we'll get you comfortable first. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives. Quiet, that's what I was going for. I wanted a quiet life. Quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good who and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying. And a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. Now I'm just doing fine up to there. As a matter of fact, that has one of my favorite verses in it. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. Isn't that a great verse? Isn't that a wonderful verse? I'm loving that verse. And then the next verse that I come to is verse 8. I want men everywhere, to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. And then it talks about how women ought to dress. I'm telling you, I struggled with this. You think I'm being facetious. I'm not. I'm telling you the truth. When I was in my teens, I was so, I mean, you can't imagine how neurotic I was. And for me, just to turn my hands over during that song was an emotional struggle. But it wasn't just an emotional struggle, it was a spiritual struggle. Because God was asking me to do something that was outside my comfort zone. And as I said earlier, the test of whether or not something is God's will is not whether it makes us comfortable. Well, you know, I think God recognizes that there are different kinds of personalities. Some people are just more demonstrative and some people are more reserved. And I don't think God would ever violate our personalities because God is, after all, a gentleman. And therefore, if you don't feel comfortable doing something, then you don't have to do it. That is a load of lies. Okay? God isn't a gentleman. He is the ruler of the universe. He is the king. And he says, through Jesus, that there's going to be a wedding feast one day, and if you show up without wedding garments, you will not just be seated in the dingy seats, there aren't any, you will be thrown out and destroyed. Well, I thought that thing about the wedding garments had to do with it. It does, but I want you to understand something. God not only promises salvation to his children, he promises destruction to his enemies. And so when he says, this is what I want, his children should want to please him. Doesn't that make sense? I know that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins, and I really am grateful, but I hope I'm not going to have to show it by raising my hands. What's the deal? Why is that hard? We play volleyball. We play tennis. We play basketball. But we can't raise our hands in church. Why? Why is that hard? I'm going to tell you the main reason I believe it's hard. It's because God tells us to do it. The enemy doesn't want you to do what God tells you to do. And he will throw everything he's got at you to try and stop you from obedience. To make you feel like, I can't do that. I just can't do that. I just can't do that. Yes, you can. By God's grace, you can. But I want you to see something else. When Moses was seeking to be obedient and do what clearly God wanted him to do, and that is demonstrate his dependence and the Israelites' dependence on God, Moses needed help in being obedient. Moses got tired. What Moses was being asked to do was actually difficult. Now, it wasn't as difficult as what the guys down on the battlefield were doing. They were doing something that was even more difficult, required more physical exertion, and nobody was shooting at Moses up on the hilltop. But what Moses was doing was crucial to the success of the guys on the battlefield. And yet he couldn't do it by himself. He could not keep his hands up because after a while they get tired. He's trying to hold out the rod of the Lord and his arms are getting weak. The guy's 80 years old. And this would be hard for a young man after a while. And so his two companions who were there with him brought a rock for him to sit on. And they held his hands up. This is one of the most beautiful pictures in the Bible. They held up his hands. Why didn't they say, hey, Moses, let me take a turn? Because it wasn't their job. It was Moses' job. But Moses couldn't do his job by himself. Let me tell you, I can't count the number of times that this picture has given me comfort. Because I am keenly aware that I could not do what God has called me to do were it not for the people that God has put around me to hold up my hands. And I thank God for them. I can't do what I'm called to do on my own. So God doesn't really need any help. No, he definitely does not. God doesn't need any help at all. Please be clear about that. But he chooses to work through the obedience of people who not only need God's help, but they need the help of other people. Do you know that that applies to you? God has things for you to do, but you're not going to be on your own. You will need other people to come alongside you and work with you in order for you to be faithful, in order for you to finish well. You need help. And that's as it should be. In fact, there's going to be more about that very principle in the next chapter. But I want you to see that God waited on Moses to be doing this. And I urge you to take those passages that we referenced earlier about raising our hands to the Lord and look at them and see if raising your hands to the Lord is a weird thing or if being in worship and not being able to raise your hands to the Lord is a weird thing. Well, so are you saying it's a sin to have your hands by your side when you're worshiping? No, I'm not saying it's a sin. I'm saying it is bondage not to be able to do this. So do I have to do this all the time? No, not all the time. But if this isn't anywhere in your repertoire, grow, learn, develop. Don't be tied down. Do what should be a natural thing. When you know it gives pleasure to God, why would you not? So, the Lord said, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered. Make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Do you know why the Amalekites are remembered by some people today? We remember them as the people that God said would be wiped out and not remembered anymore. Nobody else, Buddhists don't know who the Amalekites were. The only context in which the Amalekites are remembered is that they are a group of people who opposed God, and God was continually at war with them. I don't want to be one of the people who's remembered for having said no to God. I would like for anybody who remembers me to remember me as one who was obedient.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Wares Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.